When talk about history, I don't know what going to come into your mind. Talk about history, you know, history. Wow. Some people think that it is so boring, it's totally irrelevant to our life. History, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, what happened to the people, what happened, in other country, you know, totally irrelevant in our life. Sometimes we don't like history, you know, we love internet, modern technology, or more interesting modern life. But interesting, a good saying we saw in the PowerPoint, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. We just partake in Holy Communion. Actually, it is a historical event. 2,000 years ago, Jesus took bread and took the cup and made the covenant with the church and with all the believers. It's the historical event. And when we remember the history, it's a lot of lessons. Remind us how to follow Christ and see how the people interact with the Lord. And actually, they treat it as a good example and also bad example. And so a lot of lessons to all of us. And today, Paul also do the same things in chapter 10. The whole chapter to remind us through a lot of example in the Old Testament. Before we continue, let's remind all of us at the end of chapter 9, how Pastor Dave remind us. Chapter 9, verse 22 to 23. Paul said, "Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to serve some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessing." In the church, there's so many people, they're proud of their human rights and freedom. They can do whatever they want. They think that they have been baptized and partake in Holy Communion and think that they can do whatever they love to do. They have freedom and they don't fall into temptation. But Paul, in chapter 9, using his own example, he said, "I have the right, I have the freedom, but I love to give up my right and freedom for the sake of gospel. I have freedom, I have right, but for Jesus, for the gospel, I don't mind to give up my right and freedom." So people can understand the gospel and Jesus' love. He said he do everything so that people can understand the gospel. It is his vision and mission in his life. And 24th and 25th in chapter 9, he said, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone won, but only one person get prize? So run to win." And also in 25th, he mentioned about how to discipline, how to training, so he can get the eternal prize. I think we all just finished watching all the Winter Olympic, all the story, all the picture, I think is still in your mind. They do a great things, a good training for this event. They want to win. They want to win. Paul, using this illustration, and apply in himself, he also want to win, but not the golden medal, but the prize, eternal prize that was stored for him in heaven, for Jesus, for the gospel. Paul, using this illustration to remind the congregation, and also remind himself, he run to want to get to win the prize. He run with a purpose. He live with a purpose. As in chapters 26 and 27. "So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body and training so that I," after the last verse, "otherwise I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Disqualified. He run with a purpose. He discipline and training himself. He don't want to be disqualified in his ministry, in his life. I mean, this good example Paul showed to the Corinthian church, when the church and people keep no mention about their freedom, their rights, they can do a lot of things, even go into temptation, go to the temple, eat, and also even go to many party, worship idols. They think they have freedom, they have right, they don't fall into temptation. But Paul remind them, using his own example, he give up his right, give us his freedom for sake of gospel. for Jesus Christ. He don't want to be disqualified. Think about ourselves. I think we serve the Lord. We grew up in a Christian family. We go to church for many years. We serve. It is good. But let me remind you using Paul's example. He said he run his life with a purpose. He served, but he don't want to be disqualified at the end. So there's some good lesson in chapter 10. The first lesson I would like to share with all of you, and also remind myself, from verse 1 to 5 in chapter 10, not everyone can finish well. Not everyone can finish well. Let's read the scripture together. Verse 1 and 2. I don't want you to forget, dear brother and sister. In the New Testament or other verses, there's a for in verse 1. For, it means there's a connection between chapter 10 and chapter 9. There's a for. After Paul using his own example, he quoting the example in Old Testament to remind the whole church, beware the temptation. Run and serve the Lord with a purpose. Be aware of the temptation. It's everywhere. He's not only using his own example, but quoting a lot of examples from the Old Testament. In verse 1, he said he want to remind the brother and sister. He don't think he's in a superior position. He treat the church, the Christian, as brother and sister. We all in the same place. We will fall in temptation. So guard your heart. Guard your heart and beware. There's some example he called from Old Testament. He mentioned about ascenders, our fathers. In his mind, the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a continuity, there's a context, there's a connection. Although in the church, there's so many Gentiles in Corinthian church. In Old Testament, they talk about the Jews. But according to Paul and his philosophy, actually, Old Testament and New Testament, there's a continuity. We all believe the same God. We are one family in God's sight. He's talking about our fathers. Our senders, there's how they interact with the God, and also a good lesson for all of us. And talk about the cloud and the sea, and also use an example how the people escaped from Egypt, and through the cloud, and also the walk through the Red Sea, just like a Christian baptized in Christ. It's an illustration and a comparison. We just like them. We all baptized in Christ, just like them, baptized and follow Moses. 3, verse 3 and 4. Let's read together. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them thank you. Not only they all baptized into Moses or as us baptized into Christ, we all share the spiritual food and drink just like them. In the wilderness, you know, they get the manna, the spiritual food every day. And also drink the water come out of the rock. Just like we partake in the Holy Communion. We partake the body of Christ and the cup of Christ. We just like them. And also, when talk about the rock, the thing is that the rock is the spiritual. And also, it's the Christ they were present with the Old Testament time. They think God with them. In Old Testament time, and also in the New Testament time. So there's so many similarities between Old Testament and New Testament. The situation in Corinthian church and the people in the Moses time. Paul keep mentioning there's some connection between the church and the people in Old Testament time. There's so many miracles, exciting things happen in the first verse 1 to 4. But interesting, in verse 5, the last verse in this section. Let's read together. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Although they saw so many miracles, they experienced the providence of God. There's so many miracles in their 40 years very exciting, but interesting how God summarized the situation. They said God was not pleased with most of them. We understand the story, only Caleb and Joshua and all the generation under 20 can enter into the promised land. Although they have experienced so many spiritual blessings or miracles, but not all of them have real faith in Christ or in the Lord. Most of them are failed. Using Paul's words, they all disqualify. They all disqualify. So the main message from verse 1 to 5, we all can remind each of us. We think we go to a good church, we come from a good Christian family. But think about every step, every decision you make is calm. Don't think that in the last year or previous years, I worship the Lord and serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Yes, it is really a blessing and really a good experience. But using this example, Paul reminded the church and remind each of us. History in history, the past is the past. Every day or today or future, we need to make a right decision how to follow God, how to faithful to God. Our past didn't guarantee we can finish well. Finish well is a big term in the Mission Fest in 2010. I love the term finish well. It talks about how the church finished the mission ministry. Finish well. Finish our vision and job from God. But I think as an individual church or a Christian, I think the finish well also a big term and good lesson for all of us. How to finish well. And Paul said, I share the gospel, but I don't want to disqualify at the end. I think we all have the same mindset in our ministry, you know, in our Christian life. Finish well. Finish well. Last month, I heard a very sad story for Kevin Rora. Yeah, from the USA. Served in, I think, 5 years before. She's in 25 years old. She earned a lot of money in business world. I think it is $200,000 per year. $200,000 per year annual salary per year at her 25 years old. I think she's a very successful, very smart lady, a Christian. So somebody approached her. This is an opportunity and vision to help the present, in the present, start a new ministry using the business idea and training, get the prisoner to equip themselves so they can release from prison, they can find a good job. This is a good project and also a good vision for her. So interesting, as her age 25, he give up a lot of good job, good salary, and start from zero and start the prison ministry in USA. 5 years later, you know, very successful ministry and fruitful ministry. All the people go through this program when they were released from prison, 98% can find a job. This lady, using a lot of technique and training, equip the prisoner, you know, help them to find a job, have a new life after they release from prison. I think it's a very fruitful and blessed ministry. It's great. So in 2008, Widow Creek Church had a leadership summit, invite her as a main speaker. He shared how to follow God and how to use her gift to serve the Lord and serve the church and touch people's life. A lot of wonderful story and inside experience to all of the people. It is in 2008. After the leadership summit and conference, at the end of 2008, she was resigned from this ministry. It's a very sad story. Do you know what happened to her? At the end of 2008, due to a problem with her marriage, she was divorced with her husband, and then facing some temptation and also pressure in his life, in her life and ministry. She have an inappropriate relationship with four of the prisoners in his ministry. Four! He called inappropriate relationship, you know what I mean. So he was resigned from her position and do not allow her to go into this ministry again. Very sad story. Fruitful and faithful ministry. But due to some problem with the family and cannot handle the pressure and family life, commit adultery and ruin her life and also her ministry. Very sad story. I call her story not only want to, you know, highlight her weakness or problem, but also remind all of us how to finish well. It's a lesson for you and also for me. Just like her, fruitful and faithful ministry in the previous year. A great heart and great vision for God and for the people. But one mistake can ruin the ministry. Finish well. As Paul mentioned in the verse 1 to 5, he quotes so many examples from Old Testament. The people in Old Testament time, in Moses' time, they experienced power and blessing from the Lord every day, but didn't guarantee their faith in God. Didn't guarantee they can finish well. I think we all in this room, we can remind ourselves, be alert. How we make choice, how we facing each of the temptation in our life. Second part of this scripture, verse 6 to 11. I would like to say that the whole Bible is relevant and Bible today to you and to me. There are five examples Paul using to remind the people in his church. Verse 6, I think, is the key point of the people facing in Paul's time. In verse 6, he said, those things happen as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did. I mean, they mentioned there's so many things, but start from the heart. Evil desire, the other translation, evil desire. When they are not right in their heart, when temptation come, we fall into temptation. And he mentioned five mistakes or bad lesson or example in the time of Moses to remind his people. Let's read together. Verse 7. Or worship idols. Thank you. I think the other pastor mentioned that the temptation in Paul's time in Corinthian church, they go to temple, they enjoy the party, they worship the idol, or enjoy the meal together. They think there's no problem. I have freedom. I have the right. I've baptized. I partake in Holy Communion. I won't fall in temptation just like other people. But Paul, using the example in Old Testament to warn them, don't think about yourself too high, too strong. In the Old Testament time, people go to celebrate and worship the idol and commit adultery and fall into temptation. Verse 8, let's say together. And we must not engage in sexual immorality, and some of them did. There's a number difference in Old Testament and New Testament. I think that's okay. There's a round up number. I think the key point is the last verse. This huge people die in one day. 23,000 people die in one day. That's not killed by the enemy. It's a punishment from the God. Interesting. When you read the story in Old Testament time in Pentateuch, they're facing a lot of enemies, but they win. Even the Egyptian, but who killed them? Not their enemy, not the Egyptians. It is the Lord's punishment when they commit sexual immorality. And verse 9, let's say together, nor shall we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then die. The third example, they put Christ to the test. Just like Satan, tempt Christ at the beginning of the ministry. He said, if you are son of God, jump, right? The angel will protect you. I think it's the same temptation in Jesus' time, in Corinthian time, also in modern time. We put ourselves in temptation and think that God will protect us. and overlook the situation. Maybe we think we are too strong. Maybe we think that God will do something at the end, will protect us. But God, using this example, reminds all of us, don't put Christ to the test. Don't put Christ to the test. Don't cross the boundary. Verse 10, another example. Let's read together. Yeah. I think same as 11. There's so many complaints. There's so many grumble against Moses, but not only Moses, but also to God. They love to eat, they love to drink, they have an earnest need and want in their heart. They never satisfy. They always complain, always complain. Always complain. Is it another temptation for us to also? What you need and what you want. What you need and what you want. Do you satisfy and give thanks to God to what you have? For the people in Moses' time, they never felt satisfied. Always complain. Even they have experienced God's blessing and providence every day, but they never satisfied. Always complain. Never give thanks. Verse 11. I think in the summary for this section, let's read together. These things happened to them as example for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. The end of the age, when did it start? It starts from Jesus. When he come, in New Testament time, it is the end of age. We all in the end of age. Paul mentioned this scripture and also using a lot of examples from Old Testament to remind us it is an example for us. When you read the Old Testament story, we think it is this story for the children worship or children Sunday school, right? Old Testament story, right? But Paul think it is relevant for Old Testament story and example and scripture, totally relevant to all of us. To all of us. It is an example and a warning. God wants to share with us and remind us. This scripture and warning is for us, not for other people. I mean, when you read the Bible, I mean, it is a very good lesson for us. It is a story, what happened in the previous time in history. But it's not only a story. God using this story to talk to you today. So it is so important when you try to escape from the temptation, to make it strong, train yourself, and stand firm in your faith. And one of the very important spiritual disciplines is read the Bible every day. Have devotional time with God every day. Read the Bible. God used the scripture and the story to talk to you every day. As Paul mentioned in this scripture, God wants to remind you, want to talk to you every day. But will you listen? Will you listen to God? This example and story, not for children's Sunday school, but for you and me today. Have you a chance to listen to God? He wants to talk to you today. Give you a warning. Help you to facing all the temptation. The third message from this scripture, the last two, 12 and 13. It talks about don't give in or give up too early. Don't give in or give up too early. Let's read it together. Verse 12. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. I think it is a good example. Paul wants to remind the church in Corinthians. They think they have freedom. They have a lot of right. They are baptized. Their spiritual gift, their spiritual knowledge. They think they are too strong. People may fall to temptation. They think they won't. But Paul, using the last words in this section, if you think that you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Even Paul himself, he disciplined and changed himself to not be disqualified at the end. Even Paul disciplined himself. I think we, as a Christian, we all have the same mind. If you think you are too strong and never fall in temptation, I think take a look. Take a look to this scripture. Don't think about your parents serving the church for many, many years. Don't think that you go to church for a long, long, long time. Or don't think about you go to a good church, never fail. I think Paul's lesson is good for all of us. We need to make our own choice and decision how to follow Christ faithfully and wholeheartedly. 13, I think it is a good encouragement for all of us. Let's read together. 13, the temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. Thank you. I would like to highlight 2 points. God is faithful, and then He will show you a way out. I think the key point is sometimes we always find an excuse, you know, for us, oh, we fall in temptation. There's no choice. There's no option. I will fall in temptation. There's no choice, no option. But this verse, this scripture, encourage and also give you a warning. There's always a way to escape because God is faithful. But did you see the way? Or give in or give up too early in our life, in the temptation. These words encourage and also remind us there's always a way out. Don't think that, never think that you have no option. When you are facing a moral temptation or situation, think about this scripture. It's an encouragement for all of us. Always a way out. God will open the door for you, for temptation, for all the situation. Trust God, follow Him. Finish well. I would like to use Billy Graham's story. God used him for many years, and he's faithful in his marriage for 60 years until his wife die, but he's faithful to the family and to marriage. People interview him. Do you have any secret to be faithful in the ministry and in the marriage? You know, you are so handsome. You know, in his time, you know, think that he's so handsome. You know, he need to preach in many places by himself because his wife need to take care of 4 children at home. He need to running around by himself preaching in many churches to many people, and he's handsome. As handsome, right? He's so handsome. Oh man, oh, there's so many temptations. You know? People ask, hey, what's the secret? You can escape from the temptation and protect yourself. Billy Graham said that when he got married, he made a conference with his wife. He said he never has counseling time with a lady in the room. Never. Never. No matter if it's old lady or young lady, never. Doing counseling with a lady in a private setting. Never. He made a commitment to protect himself, his ministry, his marriage. I mean, he's wise. You know? God used him. But don't forget Satan also chasing him, right? I mean, do something to protect you, protect your life, protect your ministry. There's always a temptation. You need to make a choice. You need to set your own boundary. Billy Graham, he said, he never doing counseling time with a lady in a private setting or private room. Never. Always go to public setting. Maybe it's too noisy or not appropriate setting, but he need to protect himself, protect his marriage, protect his ministry. How about you? The people in Corinthian church, they think they have too many freedom. They have freedom. They have right. They can do whatever they want, even go into temptation. But Paul have another saying, another perspective to see how we treat the temptation, how he protect himself, how we protect your calling. So at the end, I would like to show Olympic torch to remind us. I love this picture. When we talk about history, if you have time to read the history, the church history, we can find there's so many touching stories. Even in MB's story, people using their life, their blood, to be faithful to the gospel, to the Bible, to the Lord, and pass the gospel, the torch, to the next generation. Why not the torch pass into your hand? How do you handle it? I mean, we watch a lot of picture and video in the internet or TV, how the Olympic torch, the rally around the country, right? A lot of touching and beautiful picture. But right now, the gospel, the torch, is in your hand. How do you handle it? Finish well and pass into the next generation. Finish well. How you pass this torch, and the gospel, the torch, what God gave to you to pass to the next generation. Be faithful, as Paul. And this is a picture took in on Willingdon, in Burnaby, when people waiting, the torch passed over them. They all want to be a witness. They celebrate and welcome the torch, Olympic torch, the fire coming. I think in your ministry, in your life, in your school, in your family, there's so many people standing around you and watching you, how you run, how you pass on the torch to the next generation, to your generation. Think about this picture. So many people finish their job, and also many people not finish well. How about you? How about you? Are you faithful to your calling? Are you want to pass your torch, the gospel of torch, to the next generation and finish well? You need to make your own decision. Paul gives so many examples this morning in chapter 10. I wish we all take heart of to all teaching and follow Paul's example. Protect yourself, finish well, faithful to your calling, faithful to the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege to be called your children. What a privilege we can serve you in the church and also in the world. But Lord, forgive us. So many times we overlook this opportunity. We even fall into temptation. God, forgive us. Help us to read the Bible again, to see how you train your people, how you empower your people to serve you, and also how people fail when they fall into temptation. Lord, help us to see and remind us not to follow the example. Help us to follow Paul, how he served you wholeheartedly. And also remind us the beautiful picture one day when we stand before you in heaven. Lord, we love to see your command. You are the faithful servant. Come, come, enjoy the party with you. Lord, we're looking for this command. You call us a faithful servant. Lord, help us, the Holy Spirit. I know that you are in our heart. Always help us and empower us to overcome the evil, overcome the temptation. Lord, when we fall in temptation, a evil desire in us, Holy Spirit, remind us, using the word of God, remind all of us, because we would like to finish well on earth. We would like to finish the mission you gave us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.